of journalism is to question the prevailing wisdom. Question the prevailing wisdom.
Just a second. Just speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
All rights reserved and affirmed.
Free all minds. These are weapons of mass
These
descent.
These are weapons of mass descent.
Welcome to Uprising, a daily digest of independent news analysis, investigation, education, artistic expression, and activism. It's Monday, February 27th, 2012, and I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar.
It makes me stop and
it
think.
It just makes me stop and
it
think.
It just makes me stop and
it
think.
It just makes me,
just
stop,
makes
and
me stop and think.
Silence is not an option.
Noam Chomsky on the economy. Crisis and hope, theirs and ours.
Once again, I tried too hard to cross the tracks. Sorry if my eyes drop when the fellow meadows out, but I can't help myself, why should I?
This is Uprising. Good morning and welcome to Uprising. Despite the rosy economic outlook perpetuated in most mainstream media because of dropping unemployment rates and stock rallies, USA Today quotes three economists who are predicting ongoing economic devastation. The economists are worried about the global debt bubble. One of them, Harry Dent, author of The Great Crash Ahead, says, quote, "A shift toward debt reduction and austerity around the world will cause the economy to suffer another severe leg down, making it more difficult for the government and Federal Reserve to avert a new meltdown." Progressive economists have long warned against the persistent efforts to reduce government debts by cutting social programs as a way out of the recession. Today, we turn to one such voice commenting on the broad political and historical context of our current economic climate. Noam Chomsky, MIT professor of linguistics and a critic of American domestic and foreign policy. His wide-ranging criticisms have made him an enemy of the powerful and a beloved intellectual for generations of progressives. Chomsky has written over 100 books and is one of the most cited living sources in the world. Currently in his 80s, he continues to travel extensively, lecture widely, and write prolifically. Noam Chomsky spoke just a few weeks ago at the University of Maryland at an event that was filmed and whose recording was generously made available to KPFK by the Real News Network. And it's our thank you gift to you today for a pledge of $75 anytime this hour at 818-985-5735. For a $150 pledge, you can get that DVD, as well as Extraordinary Minds featuring Noam Chomsky, which is an interview with Chomsky by Dr. Howard Gardner. That DVD is available for a thank you pledge of $100. The two DVDs together for $150 at 818-985-5735. We're in the very final leg of our pledge drive, and we're only $150,000 away from our goal. We'll make it this week with your help. Here is Professor Noam Chomsky speaking at the University of Maryland.
To clarify the title a little, I'll adopt the imagery of the Occupy movements, the imagery that's become familiar, current in the last few months. Them is the 1% and us is the 99%. Of course, this is only imagery. It's not to be taken literally. The leading factor in the astonishing inequality to which the Occupy movement has finally drawn attention actually lies in a fraction of 1% of the population, maybe a tenth of 1%. It's mostly hedge fund managers, CEOs of financial corporations, and the like. This is a product of radical changes in the economy since the 1970s. It initiated a process in which an out-of-control financial sector is eating out the modern market economy from the inside, just as the larva of the spider wasp eats out the host in which it has been laid. Actually, those words are not mine. I couldn't get away with it. I'm quoting Martin Wolf of the Financial Times, probably the most respected economic correspondent in the world, suitably conservative. Related and parallel process has been the deindustrialization of America. That's a sharp reversal of centuries of history. It's been a bonanza for the 1% and pretty much of a disaster for the rest. Now, the process is called failure by design by the Economic Policy Institute. They're the major monitors of the state of working America, and not, of course, a failure for the designers. As they make clear, the designers have been making out like bandits, rather a failure for the rest, including future generations, on whom a huge burden is being imposed, one that may be impossible to meet, and again, by design. It's not a law of nature, law of economics, anything else, planned process. Occupy imagery, it refers to aspirations and commitments. So take, for example, Martin Luther King. His anniversary was celebrated a couple of weeks ago. King was a leading figure of the 1%. That's independent of whatever his personal assets might have been when he was assassinated. And we should recall that he was assassinated while he was supporting a strike of public sector workers, a group that's now targeted for destruction in the current phase of the class war, the vicious class war that's intensified in the last 30 years or so. He was hoping at the time to carry his dream forward by leading a march of the poor to Washington. The march actually took place, starting from the motel where he was assassinated in Memphis, passing through regions where the civil rights struggle had been waged, and finally reaching Washington, where the marchers were dismissed with scorn by Congress and driven out of the city by the police, who for good measure were ordered to destroy their encampment in Resurrection City in the middle of the night. It's revealing the contempt of Northern liberalism for King when once he went beyond condemning racist Alabama sheriffs to confronting the more fundamental problems of American society in the North as well, the terrible plight of the poor, and aggression abroad. At the time, that was the atrocious U.S. war in Indochina. Martin Luther King's actual dream, not the one we hear orations about on Martin Luther King Day, the actual one was left in tatters, an unfulfilled legacy, matters worth contemplating as King is solemnly commemorated. One vivid illustration of the difference between the crises of the 1% and the 99% is the fate of the congressional legislation that was passed to deal with the catastrophic financial crisis that was created by the 1% and their associates in the political and professional worlds. The government reaction was reviewed by the Special Inspector General of the Bush-Obama bailout programs, Neil Barofsky. He pointed out that the legislation that authorized the bailout was two-sided. It was the financial institutions that were responsible for the collapse. They were to be saved by the taxpayer, and the victims of their misdeeds were to be very partially compensated measures to give some protection to home values and to secure home ownership. Well, only one part of the bargain was kept. It didn't take a genius to predict which part. The financial institutions were rewarded lavishly for causing the crisis. The TARP bailouts were the least of it. Meanwhile, the rest of the program floundered, quote Borofsky. Foreclosures continued to mount, with 8 million to 13 million filings forecast over the program's lifetime, while the biggest banks are 20% larger than they were before the crisis and control a larger part of our economy than ever. Furthermore, he went on, they reasonably assume that the government will rescue them again if necessary. Indeed, the credit rating agencies incorporate future government bailouts into their assessments of the largest banks, exaggerating market distortions that provide them with an unfair advantage over smaller institutions, which continue to struggle, and of course over the 99%. In short, he concludes, Obama's programs were a giveaway to Wall Street executives and a blow in the solar plexus to their defenseless victims, and very likely a stepping stone towards the next and probably worse financial crisis as business lobbying chips away systematically at the Dodd-Frank regulation bill. Well, these crises have been a regular occurrence since the Reagan years, though there weren't any before. Before that, the New Deal regulatory apparatus remained in place. That was also the greatest growth period in American economic history, often called Golden Age by economists. It was also a period of egalitarian growth. The lowest fifth of the population did about as well as the top fifth. It was also the period in which the modern high-tech economy was founded, very largely in the dynamic state sector of the economy, and not something you read about when you see the encomiums to Steve Jobs and Bill Gates and the others who made use of the contribution of the public to commercialize the work that had been done.
Professor Noam Chomsky speaking exactly 1 month ago, January 27th, 2012, in a speech that has been made available to KPFK listeners by the Real News Network, which, like KPFK, is a non-profit funded daily video news and documentary service. It does not sell advertising or accept government or corporate funding. You can find out more about them at realnews.com. The entire DVD, the DVD of the entire talk by Noam Chomsky, is our thank you gift to you today on this Monday morning as we are in the home stretch of this winter fund drive for a pledge of only $75 at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. If you listen to what Chomsky is saying about the analysis, about his analysis of the economy, it's not just how he explains what is happening today, but the historical context that he brings to the current recession that is so important, so crucial for us to understand why things are the way they are today. He says that these sorts of crises, these bubbles that have burst and inflated and burst over and over again, have become a regular occurrence, but only since the Reagan era. And before that, the New Deal regulatory apparatus remained in place. And so the deregulation that Reagan caused can be directly linked to these bubbles, and economists scratch their head, mainstream economists at least, scratch their heads wondering why they happen. You know, Alan Greenspan famously saying to Congress that he is confused and his belief in the free market capitalism is shaken. And that's the sort of analysis that Noam Chomsky brings to the table, the historical context, in this incredible hour-long speech, showing how and reiterating in clear terms how big banks were lavished with bailouts while those that they hurt were given only the mildest of compensations. You've heard coverage of that on KPFK and on this very program over and over again. You heard coverage of the warnings by progressive economists like Dean Baker about the housing bubble about to burst on this program before the the economic crash. And that's why KPFK is so important. Real people's lives are at stake when the economy crashes. It isn't just the banks going to the government for bailout. It isn't just numbers and statistics. It's real lives. And KPFK gets that because we are part of the community. And in fact, KPFK's own well-being is threatened when the economy is threatened as well. It's very important, therefore, that we keep institutions like KPFK alive, on the air, and thriving at the worst of times as well as at the best of times. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. 818-985-5735 for a pledge of just $75. We'll send you this DVD. Now, for a pledge of $100, you can get a second DVD featuring Noam Chomsky. It's part of Dr. Howard Gardner's Extraordinary Minds series, which is he's a world-renowned author, sitting down with some of the most important minds of our time and exploring their ideas and thoughts. And in this particular DVD edition of Extraordinary Minds, he spends an hour with Noam Chomsky. And we want to give you that DVD for a pledge of $100. It's an amazing set of questions that he asks him about his own background, about his work in linguistics, about current events, politics, the economics, about the arts, about psychology. So if you're a Chomsky fan, you're going to want this in your collection. It's a $100 pledge for Extraordinary Minds featuring Noam Chomsky, an interview by Howard Gardner. Together, you get the $75 DVD and the $100 DVD, not for $175, but for $150. We have no extra bonus gifts to offer you this morning, so don't wait for, you know, added tickets, etc. We just want to be very straightforward with you about what you get when you make your pledge of $150. Yes, you'll get the two DVDs, but you get KPFK, and you keep it alive for generations to come. We have four callers on the line right now, and this has been one of our most popular thank you gifts on Uprising. This two DVD set for a pledge of $150. 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. Let me say that slowly. 818-985-5735. It's Monday morning. It's a rainy day. And so you can brighten up your day and KPFK's by making a pledge that will help you sleep better at night, because you'll know that you contributed to one of the most important institutions in Southern California, if not the country. KPFK, part of the Pacifica Network, the largest FM signal west of the Mississippi. We've been blessed with this signal area that other stations are envious of for over 50 years. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. $75 pledge for the Real News Network, a speech given at the University of Maryland exactly 1 year ago, 1 month ago, just 1 month ago, so it's brand new. $100 pledge for Chomsky being interviewed by Howard Gardner in the Extraordinary Minds DVD series. Together, $150 at 818-985-5735. I'm glad to see some calls coming in early in the hour. We need to keep that momentum going through to the end of this hour. We only have $150,000 to raise before the fund drive is over and our goal is met. If 150 of you called and pledged $1,000 in the next day or two, we'd be done. Maybe a handful of you can make that $1,000 pledge this hour to really push us through. 818-985-5735 is that number. I want to return to Professor Chomsky speaking at the University of Maryland, January 27, 2012.
Well, at that time, the banks were banks. They did pretty much what a bank is supposed to do in a state capitalist society. They took unused capital, like, say, your bank accounts, and they transferred them to what was supposed to be some constructive use, like somebody wants to buy a home or send their kids to college or start a business or whatever it may be. Now, that was the golden age. When deregulation began and the post-war system, so-called Bretton Woods system, was dismantled, that was a system of regulated capital and regulated currencies. When that was dismantled in the 1970s, it led to an extraordinary increase in global capital flow. Banks weren't banks anymore. They became financial casinos, increasingly opaque instruments, all kinds of incentives to underestimate risk, because, as Borofsky pointed out, the nanny state is counted on to step in when things go sour. Credit rating agencies, as he wrote already, take that for granted. Well, it wasn't very hard to predict what was going to happen. There were a few international economists who actually did, very few. One of them was David Felix. He repeatedly warned, quoting him, that the increasing frequency of financial crises during the period of financial liberalization could terminate in an uncontrollable one. The return to the Great Depression, we're quite close to that. Now, he was joined by a few others, among them John Eatwell and Lance Taylor, well-known British and American economists. They published in the 90s an important book called Global Finance at Risk. They discussed the institutional roots of the underestimation of risk, and they proposed means to deal with it. At root, the problems result from very well-known inefficiencies of markets, inherent inefficiencies of markets, which you learn about in your first semester of economics. One of these is that transactions in a market system don't take into account the effects of on others who are not parties to the transaction. So, for example, if you sell me a car and we're paying attention, we'll work it out so that we both make out pretty well all right. But we simply don't take into account the effect of that purchase on somebody else, that guy over there. And the effects can be, the effects are real. There's more pollution, there's more traffic congestion, there are more accidents. And when you multiply these over the population, they become substantial. In fact, these externalities, as they're called, you don't pay attention to them, they're a footnote, they can be huge. That's particularly true in the case of financial institutions. So their vocation is to take risks. And if they're well managed, they are supposed to ensure that the potential losses to themselves will be covered, that is, to themselves. Under capitalist rules, market rules, it's not their business to consider the risk to others. That's even apart from the nanny state rushing in when things get in trouble, which of course expands the underestimation of risks. But even apart from that, just inherent in a market system is that risk is underpriced because what's called systemic risk, that is the risk to the system at large, is not priced into decisions. So if Goldman Sachs makes a risky transaction, investment of some kind, or loan, or whatever, it presumably, if well managed, covers the risk to itself, even putting aside the fact that the nanny state is there to help it out when things go wrong. But it doesn't take into account the risk that if its, say, loan goes bad, the whole system will collapse, which is pretty close to what happened. It insured itself with AIG. AIG tanked. If the government hadn't bailed out AIG, the biggest insurance company, the Goldman Sachs would be bankrupt, and other consequences like it would have happened, as would happen in a capitalist society without the nanny state. But the risk is always there and exaggerated, underestimated, just by virtue of the nature of markets. Well, that naturally leads to repeated crises, but all such annoying thoughts were put to the side during the period of what's called neoliberal globalization. That kind of settled into dogma from the Reagan-Thatcher years. Also dismissed were occasional warnings to beware of what Nobel Laureate Joseph Stiglitz, 15 years ago, called the religion that markets know best. They don't.
Noam Chomsky speaking at the University of Maryland exactly 1 month ago today about the economy. You know, he rarely talks about the economy in this level of detail. Generally, he discusses foreign policy, war, and does bring into the discussion the economy. But this one is devoted entirely, this talk is devoted entirely to the economy. And what's wonderful is that he not only invokes the language of Occupy Wall Street, the 99% versus 1%, but he reappropriates, if you will, the language of the right. You notice in this last clip we played for you how many times he used the term nanny state. Of course, he's not talking about the nanny state that the right likes to talk about. The right likes to talk about the nanny state as being big government interfering in the lives of people, meaning, of course, big government trying to impose regulations on free market capitalism. Instead, he uses the term nanny state in a way that reminds us how many concessions private companies and corporate America actually gets from governments, how many tax subsidies, how many tax breaks, how many tax loopholes and advantages corporations get over and over again that if they were to compete in a truly free marketplace, certainly wouldn't be as profitable as they are now. And so he reappropriates that term nanny state. We want you to have a copy of this amazing hour-long talk by Noam Chomsky for a pledge of $75 on DVD at 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK. In a few minutes, we will play for you a clip from the Extraordinary Minds DVD featuring Noam Chomsky, where he's interviewed by Dr. Howard Gardner, who is a world-renowned author, and he sits down with Noam Chomsky in front of a live audience in an extraordinary conversation that gets as personal as it gets political. And that DVD is available for pledge of $100. You can get both of them for not $175, but $150. We've put a deal together for those of you who want both DVDs, the speech by Chomsky and the interview of Chomsky by Howard Gardner. One for $75, the other for $100, together for $150 at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. You know, if you search for the term nanny state in today's news, you see one after the other the term used by the right wing. For example, the website GOP USA says the nanny state in action. Could it happen here? And of course, they're talking about big government, quote unquote. Fox News uses the term regularly in their headlines. In the current news cycle, it refers to the fact that states are attempting to regulate the healthfulness of children's school lunches in public schools. And for that, the government is being called the nanny state. Fox News has a headline called Nanny State Shrinks Candy Bar Sizes. Investors Business Daily has a headline, No Freedom for You When School Lunch Nazis Attack. And the first sentence has the term nanny state. The nanny state that tells us what cars we should drive, what energy we must use, what health insurance we must have now is telling us how we should feed our kids. And it's amazing because, of course, corporations are supposed to have free access to our children to tempt them with all sorts of things that aren't good for their health. And we're supposed to sacrifice our children on the altar of free market capitalism. And if we criticize that, we are invoking the nanny state. Well, Chomsky really turns it around on its head and says, well, who is really benefiting from the nanny state? And it's not ordinary citizens, if only. It is really corporate America. We don't hear that sort of coverage on Fox News or Investors Business Daily. But you hear Professor Chomsky with full citation, with background information. He never makes claims that he can't back up, usually with sources from the mainstream themselves. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. 818-985-5735. For a pledge of $150, you can get the two Chomsky DVDs we're featuring today. And if you're a Chomsky fan, you're going to want this for your collection. I know there's people out there who collect every Chomsky speech they can get their hands on, every documentary based on his work. He has written over 100 books. Maybe you've got a whole shelf in your bookshelf devoted to Chomsky's writings. And you can own this DVD, and you can feel better about yourself knowing that you supported the radio station that regularly plays Noam Chomsky and does not censor him like much of the mainstream media does. When was the last time you heard Chomsky being quoted in a New York Times article or being interviewed by the New York Times? He has suffered a virtual blackout in the mainstream media. And it's not because what he is saying can't be backed up, but because, of course, what he is saying is so dangerous. It appeals to such a wide swath of people. Very few people, once they hear Chomsky in his entirety, can argue with him. Certainly I can't argue with him using rational ideas. And that's the power of his mind and the way in which he expresses himself. 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. 818-985-KPFK. Also, for a pledge of $50, you can attend my 10th anniversary party on Sunday, March 4th from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Kingston Cafe, March 4th to the day is the 10th anniversary of my very first broadcast on KPFK. And it feels like simultaneously a very long time and a very short time. And I'm very excited to celebrate with you, the listeners who have made it all possible. The last 10 years for me to broadcast on KPFK wouldn't have been possible without 10 years of financial support multiple times a year from listeners just like you. And in fact, probably very many of you. And so celebrate with me and the KPFK family on Sunday, March 4th, a week from yesterday. Tickets are going fast. They're very limited. It's $100 a pair. That includes food, drink, music. Teddy Robinson and Mark Maxwell will be DJing. There'll be surprises. And it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful atmosphere and party at the Kingston Cafe, a lovely little restaurant in, actually, it's quite big, in Pasadena, 333 South Fair Oaks Avenue. From 5 to 8 p.m. Again, the number is 818-985-5735. I want to turn now to the series Extraordinary Minds featuring Noam Chomsky, interviewed by Dr. Howard Gardner. In an excerpt where he asks him, Gardner asks Chomsky to explain his understanding of the economic system.
Was there a transformative moment, though, and I don't mean here in ideas, but rather in sense of self, where you decided to go public in politics, write about it, march, and so on?
Well, I did, actually, in the 40s. But that was mostly being like a youth leader in a left-wing Zionist movement or something like that. The 50s were a pretty quiescent period. There wasn't much going on. And, in fact, I was very much immersed in my own work at that time, excited about it. But by the late 50s and the early 60s, things were changing, and major things were happening, like the civil rights movement and the war and so on. And I just sort of naturally drifted back into what I had been doing before, but now on a different scale. However, going back to conventional doctrine, I think almost anywhere you look, it collapses. But take, say, a consumer choice. I mean, here there's something. When you study economics, you learn that markets are based on informed consumers making rational choices. Then comes rational choice theory, nice theorems, and so on. Has anybody ever looked at a television program? I mean, when you see an ad for an automobile, say General Motors ad, I mean, are they trying to create an informed consumer who's going to make a rational choice? I mean, if they were, they'd have a little ad which says, here's the characteristics of next year's models, end of ad. And what they try to do is to create deluded consumers, uninformed consumers, making irrational choices. Now, that's why you have a sexy actress sitting on the hood of the automobile as it goes up into the heavens, or a football player saying, ask your doctor if this is right for you, it's right for me. I mean, those are not... In fact, if you think... We all know, we all know perfectly well that business is spending hundreds of billions of dollars a year to create uninformed consumers who will make irrational choices. And in fact, they're trying to create wants that you don't have. We all know that, but we still repeat the doctrine. Take, say, international affairs. One of the leading principles is what's called Wilsonian idealism. Okay, it's sometimes called American exceptionalism. That's one of the main theses in international relations. Well, take a look at history. You find two things wrong with that doctrine. One, all of history conflicts with it. Two, it's not exceptional. Every other great power has had the same doctrine. So it's not exceptional and it's not true. But still, it's a main thesis. The other major thesis is what's called realism. It's based on the concept of national interest, which is supposed to be some objective reality that you can, read Hans Morgenthau. It's objective reality. You can study it scientifically. But national interest in the realist approach is largely divorced from the internal distribution of power within the society. Now, that makes a big difference. Like, my interest and the interest of General Electric are not the same. In fact, they may be entirely opposed. But my role in influencing policy and General Electric's role are radically different. You know? If you abstract away from these questions, you may be studying something, but it's not going to tell you very much about international affairs. And I think this is true quite generally.
Professor Noam Chomsky speaking with Dr. Howard Gardner in a 2011 DVD. Actually, they were speaking on stage, and their conversation was recorded and is available on a DVD for a pledge of $100 at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. It's our thank you gift to you today, together with the speech at the University of Maryland that we've been listening to this hour, for a pledge of $150. Individually, the DVDs are $175, and then together they're $150. In this hour-long interview, Howard Gardner asks Noam Chomsky about his insights into the nature of language, because remember, Chomsky is one of the world's leading, he is the world's leading linguist, especially for his time, and he asks him about language as a good model for other aspects of cognition, goes into psychology, and many of us are interested in these things. But then, of course, Chomsky's work in the field of domestic and foreign policy and the economy is largely what defines him to much of the world. And he goes in depth into, as you just heard him, his analysis of our economy. He has a lengthy analysis of the political situation in the country, the decline of the United States in the world. Historically, his grasp of history and the historical context he provides to ideas and situations is unparalleled. We want you to have a copy of this documentary, not the documentary, it's actually a conversation of this conversation between Gardner and Chomsky for a pledge of $100, together with the hour-long speech that Chomsky gave just a month ago, courtesy of the Real News Network, for a pledge of $150. The two DVDs together, the double DVD set, it has been very, very popular. And I really want to help you, help KPFK. You know, that's basically what we're doing. Your contribution is what keeps KPFK on the air. The thank you gifts are incentives. They're just tiny tokens of our appreciation to say, here's the kind of thing you love on KPFK, remember? And so now it's your turn to dig into your pockets and make a contribution. Here's a couple of DVDs that are amazing, fantastic education. As our way of saying thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that financial contribution. We are only $150,000 away, less than, from our station-wide goal. That means that if we get $150,000 pledges, we'd be done. We'd be done in the next day or so, for as long as it takes us to take down those pledges. But maybe there's just a handful of you who can afford a $1,000 pledge this hour and can help contribute toward that goal immediately at 818-985-5735. It's a tax-deductible contribution. You can count it off next year's, of this year's taxes next year. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. I want to turn back to the speech that Chomsky made at the University of Maryland just about a month ago. And he discusses Adam Smith and his warnings about our economic system. And of course, mainstream economists love to quote Adam Smith, but rarely do they quote him in his context. You take a mainstream economics class, just take a regular economics class at any university, and you see Adam Smith's name everywhere. But if you actually read Adam Smith, what he says is quite extraordinary, and Chomsky helps make sense of it. At 818-985-5735, you can get a copy of this DVD so that you can make sense of the world. 818-985-5735. Here is Professor Chomsky.
A lot of what's going on is in accord with a maxim of Adam Smith's that should actually be known better. Back in Wealth of Nations, 1776, he wrote that, of course he's interested in England, he wrote that in England, the principal architects of government policy are the people who own the economy. In his day, the merchants and manufacturers of England. They set policy, and they design it so as to ensure that their own interests are very well attended to, however grievous the effect on others, including the people of England, but in particular those overseas, like those in India who were suffering what he called the savage injustice of the Europeans, the British in that case, as he knew. Well, that's a pretty good principle of politics. It held well in 1770s. It's slightly different today. It's not merchants and manufacturers. It's financial institutions and multinational corporations. But the general maxim holds pretty well. You can make it more complex and sophisticated, but as a kind of a simple first approximation, it's not bad and very dramatic today. Well, it's also worth remembering that the founders of classical economics, that's Adam Smith and David Ricardo, could predict what's been happening today, and in fact they did. They warned about what they recognized would be a nightmare of what's now called neoliberal globalization, what the 99% have been enduring here and much harsher and long familiar in poorer countries. So, for example, Adam Smith discussed what would happen if in England the merchants and manufacturers decided to basically abandon England to invest abroad and import from abroad. He pointed out that they might do very well under those circumstances, but it would be very harsh for England. However, he argued that this is not going to happen because of a phenomenon that's sometimes called home bias. The merchants and manufacturers would prefer to do business at home, to invest at home and to get their commodities, products from home. And then he said, because of this, as if by an invisible hand, England will be saved from the ravages of what we called neoliberal globalization. That phrase, invisible hand, is a pretty hard one to miss. It's the only occurrence, the one occurrence of the phrase in his classic Wealth of Nations. So if you look it up in the index, that's the passage it'll take to you to. It's basically a critique of neoliberal globalization and a description of what's happening now.
Professor Noam Chomsky explaining what Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations really says about capitalism and the economy. It's amazing. Smith gets quoted so much by those who defend current models of free market capitalism, who rarely explain that Smith had a very strong critique of exactly those models and predictions of what would happen. 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. You can get the intellectual armor that you need, the intellectual weaponry, if you will, that you need to combat the myths that constantly abound in mainstream media about our current economic system, which affects every single one of us, at least those of us who are in the 99%. And you can do that by paying attention to what Chomsky's saying, by ensuring that KPFK, that gives a platform to people like Chomsky, stays on the air at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. It's a pledge of $150 for the two Chomsky DVDs that we're offering to you today. And that includes the Chomsky speech from the University of Maryland, courtesy of the Real News Network, as well as the Extraordinary Minds Conversation. That's the name of the series that Howard Gardner has done with a number of intellectuals. And this DVD in particular features an hour-long sit-down conversation with Noam Chomsky, together for a $150 pledge at 818-985-KPFK. Make it a $250 pledge and throw in a pair of tickets to my 10th anniversary party, which I'm so excited about. Very, very proud to have spent the last 10 years of my career as a broadcast journalist on KPFK, an amazing radio station. It's always challenging, of course, because you end up doing so much with so little, but that's what keeps us honest. And so I'd love to see you next week, Sunday, March 4th, from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Kingston Cafe, which serves amazing Caribbean food in Pasadena. at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. It's a pledge of $50 a ticket, $100 a pair of tickets. 818-985-5735 is a phone number to call, 818-985-KPFK. If you pledge $250, you'll get the two DVDs and a pair of tickets. If you just can afford $50, get a single ticket to the party. There'll be music, there'll be food and drink included in the ticket. It's a kid-friendly party. I'll be bringing my family, and I hope to see many, many of you out there. Stephen Starr, general manager, former interim general manager at KPFK, the guy who hired me, is going to be there as my special guest, as well as Christopher Sprinkle. I just got word. Those of you who remember Christopher Sprinkle, my very first producer on the morning show at KPFK. He's fabulous news and views, opening headlines on the morning show before he left for a job at KPFA in Berkeley. He's now back in Los Angeles, and he's promised me that he's going to come to the party on Sunday, March 4th. So it'll be wonderful times, good times, celebrating the old and the new, celebrating 10 years ago and celebrating today. Most importantly, of course, KPFK, which provides space for a person like me to be able to do my work and help educate myself and you in this decade-long journey that we've taken. 818-985-5735 is that phone number. Let me say it once more slowly, 818-985-KPFK. You know, I know a lot of you sometimes get tired of waiting for your thank you gifts in the mail, but this one provides instant gratification. You make a $100 pledge for two tickets, you come to the party on Sunday, and you're done. You don't have to wait for anything to arrive in the mail. 818-985-5735 is the phone number. 818-985-KPFK. Let's turn back to Professor Chomsky speaking at the University of Maryland about the decline of the American political system in this speech that is on DVD for pledge of just $75. 818-985-KPFK.
The famous American decline that's talked about these days actually started right away, declined very quickly. The decline is kind of interesting if you think about it. The first step in American decline has a name. It's called the loss of China. It happened in 1949, and then there's huge debate about who's responsible for the loss of China, a major issue in American domestic policy since that time. It's interesting that the phrase itself is never questioned. You can only lose something that you own, and it's just taken for granted. Of course we own the world. How can anyone question that? So if some part of the world moves towards independence, we've lost it. And then the problem is, you know, who's responsible for the loss? So in fact, part of the post-war planning, very explicit, was that the U.S. should control the entire Far East, as well as most of the rest. So that's the beginning of American decline. Keeps going. I won't run through it. But by 1970, it had reached the point that instead of controlling half the world's wealth, it had declined to 25%, which is still colossal, but not 50%. And the United States by then was, it's about what it is now, incidentally. Meanwhile, what remained of functioning democracy, rapidly declining, was shredded further as the cost of elections skyrocketed. That drives the political parties deeper, even deeper than before. They're always there, but even deeper than before into corporate pockets. It's where the money is. The Republicans did it so enthusiastically that they scarcely even resemble a traditional political party anymore, which is part of the reason for the near lunacy of the Republican debates. We can talk about that. If you abandon any pretense of being a political party, you have to mobilize voters somehow. And you can't do it on the basis of your policies. You know, you can't go to the voting public and say, hey, our only policy is to enrich the super rich and impoverish you. So you have to organize other constituencies, groups that are always there, you know, but they weren't really mobilized as a political force in earlier years. That includes religious, could use the word extremist, meaning by world standards, but they're not extremist by U.S. standards. The country's kind of off the spectrum in religious extremism and has been for a long time, in fact, since the colonists. But they weren't organized as a political force very much, and now they are. That's a big voting constituency. Nativists who are consumed with hate and fear, they're always there, but now they're organized. Small businessmen who feel that the world's turning against them, they don't like the big corporations, they don't like the government, they don't like anybody, they can be organized. And other sectors like that, I kind of hate to say it, but those of you who know something about modern history will recognize that this is somewhat similar to the constituencies that big industrialists mobilized in Germany in the late Weimar Republic, which became the Nazi, which was the Nazi Party, and they thought they could control them, but turned out they couldn't. That's a lot of dissimilarities, but some unpleasant similarities too. Anyhow, when you mobilize those constituencies, and that's who you have to talk to, then the debates and the so-called debates, you know, the catechism and so on, is going to be like what you see on television. It's kind of amazing, the world. There's nothing like it in any parliamentary system, but it's almost inevitable. Once a political party abandons any pretense of being a political party and just is completely in service to a tiny sector, a fraction of the 1%. Well, that's the vicious cycle. The Democrats who, actually the Democrats today are what used to be called moderate Republicans. Moderate Republicans, it's sometimes said that they're gone. They're not gone. They're centrist Democrats or even center-left Democrats. They're not far behind. All of that's part of the vicious cycle.
Professor Noam Chomsky speaking about the American political system in a speech that he gave just a month ago at the University of Maryland, recorded by Real News Network. And our thank you gift to you today for a pledge of $75 at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. And it's frankly wonderful to hear Chomsky analyzing the Republican Party, calling them a party that is not even trying to be a party anymore, and drawing the analogy between the kinds of constituencies that the Republican Party is trying to win over, such as extreme religious fanatics, such as a cadre of small businessmen who he says hates, not all businessmen, but that particular type of small businessman that hates government, hates corporations, hates everybody, and also drawing connections between those and nativists who are filled with hate, the anti-immigrant faction, if you will, in this country, and drawing similarities between these constituencies and the constituencies that the Weimar Republic tried to court in Germany during the era of the Nazi Party. And he says that there are some disturbing similarities, although, of course, lots of differences. And that's the analysis that I think it's very, very important for us to pay attention to, because it's true if you listen, of course, to the Republican debates. It's as though some of them are coming from a completely different planet. And if you find yourself scratching your head going, how is it possible in this day and age that these debates could take on issues and generate rhetoric that sounds like it's from outer space, then you know that KPFK is more important than ever now to tell it like it is. 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. We raised only $1,200 this hour. We need to raise a lot more. It's a pledge of $150 for the Chomsky DVDs, the two DVD set featuring Noam Chomsky, $50 ahead for tickets to my 10th anniversary party. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. It's very important that we pay attention to what is happening in our economic system. Noam Chomsky, using the language of the Occupy Wall Street movement, the 99% versus the 1%, he says it's actually worse than that, it's a 0.001%, and reappropriating the term nanny state, the right wing constantly using that term to decry the welfare and the social services that government provides with our tax dollars for us. Somehow that's the nanny state. But when that same nanny state, quote unquote, subsidizes big corporations and huge whole industries, or provides tax breaks and tax loopholes, suddenly it's all part of the free market. 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. I want to play one more clip from Chomsky, but I can only do it if we get filled up phone lines, if all seven lines that are open this morning get completely filled up, if there's somebody out there who can make the large pledge, $1,000 pledge, we will send you multiple copies of the DVDs, tickets to the party that's happening next week, celebrating my 10 years as a broadcaster on KPFK. 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. 818-985-5735. The Extraordinary Minds DVD featuring Noam Chomsky is in sit-down interview by Howard Gardner, one of the most influential public intellectuals in the world, who has authored 25 books translated in 29 languages. Now, Chomsky himself, by the way, has written over 100 books, one of the most towering public intellectuals this country has ever produced, far better known outside the United States than he is known in the United States, which is such a pity because his analysis is spot on, as you've heard, all hour this morning. I wish I could have played the whole speech uninterrupted, but I had to interrupt to remind you to call and make a pledge at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. We have one caller on the line. I need six more of you calling in before the end of the hour. And what your contribution does is keep us on the air. This amazing decades-old radio station, one of the oldest radio stations in the country, with the biggest FM signal west of the Mississippi, reaching all of San Diego, Santa Barbara, almost out to Arizona, and has the potential to change Southern California. If we had more resources, we could do so much more. As it is, we're struggling to continue operations with the donations that you give us because we are beholden to you and only you. We choose not to take corporate money. And that choice, of course, forces us to live hand to mouth, fund drive to fund drive, but it keeps us honest. And we ask you and you alone to make your pledge to KPFK because we are radio for the 99%. We're not radio for the 1%. We are radio for the 99%. That's every single one of you. And literally, if even 50% of our listeners contributed small dollar amount every year, we'd be fully funded. That's right. 10% of our listeners make contributions to keep us afloat. And that means 90% of you listen but don't pledge. We can't require you to pledge, but we can certainly ask you and remind you that you listen for a reason, that you listen because you love this radio station, and that you wouldn't be able to do without this radio station. And it's true. You may not realize the precariousness of our existence, but it's an honest existence. And we don't have a huge pad of money that's waiting to keep us afloat in case this fund drive fails or the next one fails. It's either raising our goal or calling it quits. Of course, we're not going to do that because you always do come through for us. But we do have to understand that that's the model that we've built and that's the model that keeps us honest. We just have a minute left in the hour. And we have two callers on the line right now. 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. We have two callers on the line and I need another five more of you calling in and pledging $150. Or pledge $100 for a couple of tickets to the party that we're throwing next Sunday, March 4th, 5 to 8 p.m. at the Kingston Cafe in Pasadena, and that's at 333 South Fair Oaks Avenue. 818-985-5735 is the phone number. It's $50 a head, includes food and drink. There'll be music. It's kid-friendly, and I really want to see you there. I really, really want to celebrate KPFK that has given me so many opportunities over the years to become a broadcast journalist that I really feel is worthy of your support, and I hope I am. I hope that the work that you hear that's put into Uprising every day is worthy of your contribution. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. 818-985-5735. For Sonali's subversive thought for the day, Noam Chomsky once said, either you repeat the same conventional doctrines everybody is saying, or else you say something true, and it will sound like it's from Neptune. That's Noam Chomsky. That's Sonali's subversive thought for the day. You've been listening to Uprising. Martina Steiner is our assistant producer. Tamika Miller is our engineer. Keep those calls coming in. And if you miss your opportunity, you can always go to kpfk.org and pledge. I'm your host and producer, Sonali Kolhatkar. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you tomorrow at 8. I did.